morning, I wanted to say a couple things. Thank you for Horn for that introduction. That's kind of what I'm going to talk about. So that's really neat to hear. And thank you for singing this morning, what was on your heart. That was incredible. It was so full of power. Thank you. Thank you for that was bold, and it sounded really good too. So this is an hourglass. Yeah. And I'm just going to turn it over, and we won't get to the bottom if it is truly an hour, because I'm not going to be up here an hour. So I don't have much time. But when Marshall originally asked me to speak a couple weeks ago, he sent me a text and said, you know, how would you like to speak at church on the 16th? And my immediate message back was, are you sure you heard the Lord, like, crying, laughing emoji? And so since then, it's been a while since I've been up here, but I was asking the Lord, okay, do you really want me to do this? Yeah, the answer was yes. So here I am. I'm happy I get the opportunity to share. I've been asking him what his heart is for our church. And as I was doing this, the beginning, beginning of last week, who knows who else has been a little confused, frustrated about the weather? Yeah, I mean, like, it looks like, well, sometimes in the winter we have a couple summer days or whatever, and then the groundhog saw a shadow or whatever, and so we're supposed to. So then last weekend, did it feel like the winter to anybody else? I mean, I just have felt like the winter's never going to end, and I am a summer girl. I could live in a climate year-round heat. It doesn't bother me. I like it. But I've learned to appreciate the seasons and, enjoy things about the cold weather in the winter. But whenever it's supposed to be over, I'm done. I'm like, okay, go away. I'm done with you. I'm ready for some warm weather. So last weekend, I was kind of like, okay, it feels stuck. Like, and you see, it's never going to end. And a lot of times the Lord, and you see it all over scripture, nature's kind of intertwined with things that are going on in the spirit. And a lot of times things manifest in the physical of what's really going on in the spirit realm. I really feel like that the Lord was showing me that is what a lot of us are feeling in ourselves, like we're stuck in a sense in the previous season. Maybe some of you are feeling that right now. Maybe some of you felt that a year ago, and you can look back and go, I'm still there or whatever. But as I was asking him, that's what I feel he's bringing. So maybe it's a promise that God made to you and the years have gone by and you're still looking for it. It hasn't been fulfilled yet and starting to lose hope like we do sometimes, right? So as I was praying about this, I remember a book I read several years ago in a season in my life where I felt this exact way. It's called The Allure of Hope. Has anyone else read that book? Have you heard of that book? Okay, good. That's good. I'm glad nobody's heard of it. But it was something, I can't even remember who gave it to me, maybe my sister. I don't even think the person knew what I was going through or what I needed, but I began to read it, and I spent like an afternoon bawling, like reading this book. And what it pointed out to me was hope that had been lost in my own life. It was a period of time where I felt like God had made some promises and prophetic words, and this is what's going to happen, and then it was like all of a sudden, bam, never mind, let's do this thing. And I don't know if anybody's ever felt that way, but in the book, she gives this example, and I'm going to share it with you to kind of paint the picture of what this feels like in life whenever you have these promises and you feel like you're going in a certain direction and you're excited and you have God's prophetic words, and then all of a sudden it's like a detour. So in this book, she describes this as you are ushered into a 5-star restaurant, okay? Like the best, somewhere you've never seen before, full of all these people dressed fancy, candlelight everywhere on all the tables, white tablecloths that have been pressed. Everything's perfect, finest china, finest silver. You're walking through, you smell the aroma from the kitchen of what the chef's cooking. You're so excited, and you're in that moment of feeling like this can't be real. You know, somebody wake me up, this can't be real. And you're ushered to your table. You sit down, you just look around, you drink it in, and then you even look to the kitchen and you see the chef and he looks you in the eye and you're like, me? You know, and he says, I'm making something for you, especially for you. I have a special dish. I can't wait for you to try it, you know, and you're just like, me? Really? You know, so you're a little like embarrassed, but you're excited, but you're like, wow, I feel so special. And then they bring it to your table and you taste it and you're like, wow, this is the best thing. You know, one of those times when you close your eyes, do you ever do that? I enjoy food, good food. Do you ever do that when you're eating and you're like, you know, you just have to close your eyes because you want to shut your other senses off so you can really like enjoy what you're tasting. So, and then all of a sudden in the middle of this, you've tasted and someone comes up to the table and taps you on the shoulder and says, I'm sorry, you're going to have to come with me. No further explanation, no details, nothing. They just, and you just kind of look, I'm like, huh? No, just, you have to come with me. Get up. So you get up, you follow this person, and they usher you out of the dining room, through the kitchen, back past the busboys, to the back door, and they open the door, and they say, you know, gotta go. Send you out into the alleyway. Close the door, lock the door. You're in the cold, it's dark, you're in the alley. All right. Big difference from where you just were, right? No explanation. Has anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but can you think back and remember a time where you felt like, where life felt like that? I think a lot of us have, because that's life, right? We think it's going to go a certain way and it doesn't. So let me talk about in Scripture where this has happened. One particular example is the story of Joseph. Okay. And I'm not going to read from that, but I encourage you to study it. He's a good example. You know, when he was his dad's favorite of all his brothers. I have three boys that compete with each other in my house. I cannot imagine what it would be like to have as many boys as they had under the same roof, all like vying for attention and power. And, but Joseph was the favorite. Okay. So Joseph's dad gives him a coat. The brothers hate him. It even says that they changed the way that they treated him after this coat. They couldn't speak to him on friendly terms is what it says. Then Joseph has a dream that he's ruling over his brothers. And even though his brothers already hate him, he goes and tells them about the dream. I don't understand where this logic comes from. I guess it's a 17-year-old boy, and I guess I'm getting ready to experience that in my house. But, you know, it's really, I don't know, seems really weird to me that, I don't know why you would think that they would receive that in a good way. But he tells them, yeah, hey, I'm going to rule over you. All right, so Joseph is excited because, well, his dad loves him. He's the favorite, and he has a dream he's going to be ruling. And then what happens? We remember what happens, right? He gets his brothers, well, they want to kill him, but they're like, well, let's just, you know, Reuben says, well, let's just throw him into a pit, and that way we won't really kill him because killing's really wrong or whatever. But Reuben in his mind is selfish because if you read, he really just wants to throw him in the pit so then he can go rescue him and give him back to the dad, and then he can be the dad's favorite, whatever. They're all so competitive. But they throw him in the pit. So somebody comes along, finds him, sells him to slavery in Egypt. Okay, he's in Egypt. He's in Potiphar's house. He starts gaining favor. But still, it's like his life looks nothing, right? Can you imagine him being in the pit and going, okay, I just had a dream. I was ruling. He's in Potiphar's house. He gains favor. Things are going well for him. And then what happens? It gets worse again. He gets falsely accused, thrown in prison, okay? So I guess he thought things were going to turn around, and then all of a sudden, nope, he's in prison. But what happens? he and, you know, interprets a dream, and eventually he becomes, you know, second command to Pharaoh. And then you see where his brothers come in, and there's a famine, and Joseph ends up being the one that supplies food, yada, yada, yada. But it took over 20 years for this thing to go full circle. Do you see that? It took over 20 years. It took a lot of disappointment. It took a lot of things don't look like I thought they were going to look. I don't understand. We have the Holy Spirit that comforts us through these kind of things. I mean, we are so, so blessed to have that. He didn't have the Holy Spirit even, you know, just so. And if you read, he still honored God in all of that. And it's unbelievable, his faith. But what is this about? So, you know, when you have a promise and then things from your promise go from bad to worse and you're just left, you know, you find yourself 5 years later curled up in a corner alone, crying, asking God, you know, when you've had this next blow, like what is going on? I don't understand. I didn't see myself here. Especially when you've caught a glimpse of the destiny he has for you and you're standing at the bottom of the mountain, maybe you've even started to climb and then you never get to the top, or you feel like you hit a plateau and you look at the mountain. You're like, I can't, there's no other place to step. You know, it's gone. More examples in scripture. I want to read a few things from Hebrews. And I encourage you again, that's another book, like study it, the Faith Hall of Fame. It is so full of, I mean, pretty much I could list almost everybody in scripture that you can study that did amazing things for God. If you look at their life, it didn't go the way that they thought it would go or the way that it looked like it would go. So just remember that, important people, especially. Hebrews 11, let's look at verse 7, and I'm going to read just a few scriptures starting there. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead, at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and as innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed they were strangers and exiles on the earth. It says right there, all of these died without seeing the fulfillment of the promises, you know, like, and you see it later, we see it later, but they continued to walk even though they weren't seeing the final conclusion. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. He had to wait years and years and years for that, right? He finally got him, and then God's like, here, offer him up. But the scripture says, it was he who said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. But Abraham considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Serious, he's one of my favorite people of faith, Abraham, in that whole story and situation. I'm going to go down to verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. And then let's go to verse 39. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. And again, go back and study all of this. But basically what that is saying is that the New Testament, the Old Testament, all of it together, all the situations, us living after the, it's all tied together in God's huge timeline of eternity, which never ends and has no beginning and no end. All of this is tied together. And why does this happen? Why is the rug pulled out from under us sometimes? Why do we have to wait so long for all these promises? I mean, because we are humans and our brains are compared to God's wisdom, you know, where we are so, we can't fathom it. We can't understand it. You know, things look completely different. If you look back a couple weeks ago when we were studying the resurrection, again, when Jesus was here on the earth, every single thing he did looked completely different than people thought that it would, right? When he was resurrected, that looked completely different than people thought that it would. Paul and, you know, when Jesus finds them fishing, they probably felt pretty stuck, right? They were probably on a high, like, things are going to change. Here's the Redeemer. He's going to come back and take his kingdom. And then all of a sudden, he dies on the cross. They didn't see. They didn't understand that. They didn't know. They thought things were moving backwards. So this is how God sees time. If I had the board, I would draw a line, but it's like one long, long timeline. And on that long, long timeline, we are like a tiny little speck. And then if you could put a magnifying glass on that little speck of our lives on the earth, because we know it, that we're eternal beings, right? Like our time on the earth is that little speck, but that's not all that there is for us. But we feel like it takes forever sometimes. But we're this little speck. And on our little speck, like each year that goes by is another teeny, tiny, tiny little speck. Especially those that feel really dark. And time moves the same. Sometimes feels longer than others. Of course, when you're having fun and things are going great, it seems like it goes too fast. When you're not and you're grieving and you're down, it feels like it's going too slow, but like the sand, it doesn't change. It goes the same. It's the same. Okay? 2 Peter 3:9. Don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as a day. God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end, because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. If you study that, you can understand why Peter was communicating this, which had to do with Jesus coming back and all that. But I love what he says about how God sees time. One day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. Time is because he's eternal. He's was here before the beginning, and he just sees time as like, he's like, oh, it's no big deal. 5 years, no big deal. Whereas we feel this pressure, you know, and it's funny because I used to hate hourglasses. You know, they became a trend to buy and put in your house or whatever. I was like, I'm never going to have one of those. Because it makes me feel, you know, like it feels like you're caved in or whatever. And now when I look at it, I'm like, wow, like this is what I want to, there's 3 points that I want to drive home and my time's running up. So I'm going to do that. If you don't remember anything else I said, I want you to remember these 3 things. Number one, when new life is growing, it is always preceded by time in the dark. A seed, when you plant a seed, you can't see anything for a while, right? It's growing. It's growing in the dark, right? When a child is growing in the womb, and for a while you can't see it, it's in the dark, right? Okay. The same applies to growth within us. If you, all of us have been alive long enough to see these times in our lives where we were in the dark. And when you look back at that time and you look at yourself now, you can't help but see growth. You have to, you grow in those times, okay? That's one thing I want you to remember. Number two, which is a little bit like number one, and studying Hebrews will help you with this and all the stories that I talked about in the Bible. But here's a trend that always happens with God. A really big promotion comes after a time of demotion or being stuck. Always. God loves redemption. He is all about redemption. That is who he is. You know, God sees something, he's like, oh, so it's like that. Let me show you some. Let me show you what I can do. That's how he is. It's who he is. He's like that. And I want to say this. I don't think many of you still believe this, but it drives me crazy when people tell me, oh, well, there's a reason for everything. I don't believe that. If you show me where in the Bible where that is, but the Bible doesn't say everything happens for a reason. There's a lot of things that are happening for no reason. And the world is, you know, there's death and that's how things are. And there's bad things that happen, but I don't believe they happen for a reason. But here's what I do believe is that God brings good out of everything that happens because he can. That's what the Bible actually says. Is that he is able to bring good out of anything that happens. Okay, so just remember that. But there's always a promotion after a time of being stuck. Okay, number three, the third thing that I want to leave you with is like this hourglass. Time goes fast, and like I said before, it goes at the same speed. It's running. And the time that's already gone, you on the earth, you can't get it back. I know that there's good times that you remember. There's sometimes I remember when my babies were little babies. And I'm like, I can't ever have that back. You know, and then there's some times where you're like, I'm so glad I don't ever have to have that back. But once it goes, it's gone. And if you're in a place where you feel like it's never going to end and you can't breathe, just remember it will. The time is still running. It's like water. It's like if you try to pick up water and hold it in your hand, you can't. Sand, it doesn't stop. It keeps going at the same speed, even though it might feel like nothing is moving. It's moving. It's never too late. So just remember to ask God in those times to help you to redeem that time and make the most of it and to see the beauty even in the darkness. And just remember you only have that moment, and once that moment is gone, it's gone. So try to enjoy every bit of it that you can, because once it's gone, it's done. And that's all I have to say. I feel like God wants to do some ministry. What do you think? I know you didn't. I feel like God wants to do some ministry to those feeling stuck or to promises that are not yet fulfilled or whatever. You know, if this resonates with you, I feel like God wants to minister to you. So how do we do this? Do you want to come to the front? Is that too embarrassing? We'll end, and then if anybody who wants to be ministered to, what do you think, Marshall? You do it.
I think it's a tremendous word. There's this aspect of the pressure of time we all felt, and we feel like our time's running out, some of us, older folks, and it's not the case. It's just the idea of time has been used to pressure people to do certain things. And the growth that God has for our personal lives, for a community, for a gathering, isn't measured by our concept of time, it's measured by his concept of time. He can make a nation in a day. I mean, Isaiah talks about that. And so what I feel like you have to, you brought this morning is there's a, some of you have been on the distressed or disappointment or discouraged by things you feel like the Lord has promised to you, but it's not there, and you had put a time stamp on it. It needs to happen within, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years. I think the first thing God wants to do is remove those time stamps. He's not triggered by times the way we are. And so when we do this, if this, I think what she brought today has tremendous meaning to some of the things we've put on the side because it's never going to happen. Or there's this opportunity the Lord wants to offer to pick them back up and grab those seeds and realize, you know, like the plant, the sower, there's this prophet, this parable in Mark talks about, you know, the planter doesn't go and dig up the ground to see if the seed is growing. There's this place of peace. You have to let the earth do what the earth does. Anybody's relating to this? There's something you've either gave up and it's time to pick it up. I think that's one area we need to pray for. And the other one is lifting this pressure of time and discouragement that some of us have felt. Is that where you were going? Yep. So why don't you guys stand up if this applies to you. It could be, and what I'm feeling being here is there are promises you felt for your family, kids being saved or encountering the Lord, and it went the opposite way. The Lord wants to re-inject faith and hope in those situations. There's a few things, dreams you've had, prophetic words you've received, that just, it's not there. It's quite the opposite. And I loved what Melissa said. You know, there's growth happening in the darkness. We just don't see it. And it's trusting the Father and His goodness that He will bring things to pass on His timeline, not ours. All right? Why don't you pray for them?
Thank you, Father, that You are with us always, that You see us in every moment. In every moment that nobody else sees, You see, You know us completely. You see every, You feel every emotion. You see every thought. You hear it, God, the times we cry out to You, the misunderstandings that we have, You feel them, You see them. You're not afraid of them. Thank You, God. Lord, I just, every person here, I ask that You would stir the life in them, Lord. I ask that You would just awaken anything that's dormant that You have planted, Lord, that You would uncover and awaken it. Father, that You would soften hardness. Father, that You would just stir like only You can stir. Holy Spirit, You are so good. Lord, pour out, awaken us to dream again. Lord, thank You that experiencing life with You and experiencing the fulfillment of Your promise, no matter when it is in life, is so much better. Even if it's painful, it is so much better than just staying numb and bored and safe and comfortable. Thank You, Lord. Life with You is so much better. Even the painful times, at least we can feel, Lord. Thank You. Thank You for the ability to feel. Thank You for how You created us. Everything about how You created us. And Lord, I also ask that this week that You would make us all aware of the moments that we're in and that You would just prompt our hearts to be thankful for the little things, to take each moment as a gift, because once it's gone, it's not coming back. Lord, help us to shine in each moment. Help us to love in each moment. Thank you, God. I even pray for dreams as everyone's sleeping this week. Minister in dreams. Yes, Father. And I pray for courage. Each person would have courage to hope again. Thank you, Lord.
I keep hearing this phrase. It's not because it looks different than you expected that you've missed the turn. And restored hope. You mentioned that there's a, and it has begun. There's a restored hope for your own lives, for your family lives, for things you've, you know, envisioned, and it's the beauty of the journey with Him. That though we take many, you know, turns and detours, He's faithful to put us back on track. You have not moved far away that He can reach His hand and bring you back in.
And I have one more thing to say. As I was praying, reminded, as you start to hope again, you know, pain, like if we experience one side of the spectrum of emotion, we're going to experience the opposite. But I feel like the Lord is saying, don't be afraid of the pain. But know as you open those places back up, you might feel it again, the sting of the thing that was lost and the hope that was lost. But don't be afraid of that. So, I mean, obviously Jesus knows about pain. So, all right. Have a good week.